Brother Valentine's getting out of his truck over here on the right side. So they didn't even ride to church together. I'm just saying there might be something with driving there. It's not really the case. To be quite honest with you, I walked to church this morning because I was scared. My wife got that one. Nobody else got that one. Hallelujah. David girded up his sword upon his armor. The king put all this armor on him. He couldn't wear it. He said, I have not proved them. So he takes off this armor and he goes back and he gets his staff. This is going to represent my staff today. I got this staff. You can't find this down here. I don't think you can anyway. You can find a willow tree, but this is called diamond willow. And I got this in Alaska. I cut it myself. And you see where these little diamond shapes are? That's from the tree scarring. And as this tree, it'd actually be this way, is growing, it has limbs that come out. And because of the harsh environments and the cold, it'll freeze and these limbs will break off and it leaves these marks and these scarrings. And you can take this bark off and polish this up. And where these marks and scarrings are, it'll be a deep red and it's just beautiful. But the tree has to go through pain and hurt to get these beautiful marks on it. That's a whole other message in itself. Do not tell Brother Baggett because he will steal it. First thing he told me, Brother Chris, the only thing legal to steal is a sermon or an illustration. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why when we're back and forth, now you know why. But I picked this and cut it with my dad and my mom and my sister, and I've had it. And I actually cut several. I have another one in the office that's actually all finished out if you'd like to see what they actually look like finished out. They're very, very beautiful. But David, he took off all of this armor. I'm just going to talk for a little while today, okay? And he couldn't go and fight this big Philistine in this king's armor. He goes, and this is a Stein strap. This is not an actual slingshot for those of you who are wondering, but this is going to be my slingshot today. And it's just for a point. He went and got his staff and his slingshot. He went to the brook and he got 5 smooth stones. King, I haven't proved this armor that you've put upon me. I haven't mastered the skill of the sword or the spear or this helmet or this shield. But I know what I can use. I know what I can do. I know what will work for me. King, if you'll just bear with me, King, I'll take care of this situation. David realized the seriousness of the situation. David realized the magnitude of the moment. He was by no means in his own present physical self capable. It was not physically possible for him to take on this giant of a man. We have sports and arenas of competition today where they don't actually kill each other intendedly. They play basketball and football and baseball. They have judges and levels of degree. And people will talk about, this is my favorite quarterback. Well, his pass rating is this, and his QB rating is this. And this is my favorite baseball player. And they will compare apples to apples. And when you were comparing apples to apples with David, the shepherd boy, and this giant of a man, there was no comparison. This giant had been trained in the art of war. He had mastered the skill of a sword and and a spear. He had armor bearers. He had men that looked to him with reverence, and maybe not even reverence, but fear, because he was so skilled. He was the champion among champions. He was somebody in his community. He had reached the top of the food chain, if you will. His armor was some of the very best, as was King Saul's. The king had the finest of smiths to form and make his armor. I'm sure it was very ornate and beautiful. I'm sure that every line of it was in the technology of that day at the top. He had the sharpest and the best of steel. The king's armor was good armor. Goliath had his armor. This man stood 6 cubits and a span, the Bible says. He wore a helmet of brass. He had a coat of mail that weighed 5,000 shekels of brass was its weight. He had brass on his legs and on his shoulders, between his shoulders. The Bible says he had a spear as a weaver's beam. It says that the head of the spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. This man was strong. This man was big. This man was a skilled fighter. He knew what he was about. He was a killing machine. Why else would a whole nation put their fate upon one man? And he comes out and he defies the armies of the living God. He defies the nation and the people who serve the living God, the only God. Send me out. And every day, he would come out and yell his challenge. Send out a champion from among you. And let it be decided who's going to be in control. David knew when he went into before the king, and the king put on his armor upon him, I don't know what this is about. I don't know what this sword is about. I've never had a helmet like this on my head. I've never even touched things this fine. This armor has things on it that's worth more than I've even held in my hand. You know, there's some people when you put several $100 in their hand, their eyes get big because they've never had that much money in their hand at one time. It meant something today. It was amazing. Wow, this is beautiful stuff, King. But I have not proved them. Say that with me. I have not proved them. So he goes and he takes up his staff. And he takes up his sling. And these are items that he had proved. Now, what you need to understand about the story is this. Before David ever got to this moment, before David ever got to this crossroads of his life, somewhere on the backside of the mountain, I actually have a real slingshot that my dad brought back from Israel for me when I was a little boy. And they take and they weave this out of material, and they will weave it, and then they'll get down and it'll come on, and they'll have a flap, and then they'll go on the other side and have another. And some of them, some experienced guys over there, they have some of these slingshots that's in total length, it's 6-8 feet long, and they're swinging this thing around their head, and they let it go, and they can pinpoint where that stone goes. From birth, almost, they start practicing and working. And on the back side of a mountain somewhere, he began to work on his little slingshot. I can imagine him as a little boy. Dare say our little boys and girls wouldn't, with society today, give them a game system or a TV or a computer, they can probably run circles around all of us.
weave you a slingshot, buddy. What's weave mean? That's what you'll get.
But on the backside of a mountain, this little boy begins to make, prepare. Can you imagine him sitting there taking care of daddy's sheep? I'm bored. I'm going to make me a slingshot. Sheep are okay. But he proved and he mastered this skill. He made himself proficient in the art of using a slingshot and a staff. Every shepherd, if you study out the shepherd and their staff, every shepherd is usually pictured with a staff. It was not only used as a weapon, but it was used, and you see the hook in a staff a lot of times, that was used to reach out, to pull back, or push away. But before he ever got to the moment of hearing this giant master of war scream out and defy the armies of the living God, before he ever got to his crossroads with Goliath and the appointed path that God had laid for him, there was a time of preparation. What are you saying, Brother Chris? I'm saying maybe you're in a situation right now and you're just weaving your little slingshot. You don't know why, but you got to prepare. One of the most valuable lessons I ever learned was this. If you wait till opportunity comes to prepare, you will be too late. Did you hear that? If you wait till opportunity comes to prepare yourself for that opportunity, you're already too late. But if you prepare yourself beforehand, when opportunity arises, you are ready to seize the moment and you will succeed. Maybe, you know, it's like flying a plane. Maybe your first time off the ground, it'll get a little bumpy, but you'll know how to get it off the ground. And more importantly, you'll know how to land back on the ground. What are you preaching about, Brother Chris? I have not proved them. My question to you is, what have you proved? What have you proved? Have you been preparing and proving yourself in the things that matter? In the Word of God? In the things of God? Do you read your Bible? Do you pray like you should? I'm not talking about when everybody else is watching. I went to an event this week, and the sheriff was there, politicians were there, the DA was there, the judge was there, and they asked someone to pray. And he got up and he prayed, and it was a very eloquent, beautiful prayer. But it was a prayer, don't be offended by this, it was a prayer for performance, in my opinion. It was a prayer to show these important dignitaries, look at how I pray. I'm not at all concerned about how pretty you may pray or sound, but I am concerned that you have a relationship with God, that when you pray, you can tell the difference. I'm telling you, I challenge you. You go in that prayer room and you catch Elder Sister Baggett in there, and sometimes she's in there before anybody, and she's crying and praying and speaking in tongues. You can feel the anointing of God. You can feel. Why? Because there's a depth. That's an important word. There's a depth of relationship that she has with God. Is she perfect? I'm sorry, Sister Baggett. No, she's human. She's flesh. But she has a relationship with God that she works at and she prays about and she talks to God. And not only talks to God, but she listens back from God. If you're always talking, you'll never learn nothing. You got to sometimes be quiet. Study to be silent. Study to show thyself approved. So there was a time of preparation. So David had already prepared himself with this sling and with this staff. He knew these weapons. He knew how to handle himself with these weapons. So he goes and the king says, "All right, you just go ahead with that. I haven't proved that. I'm not good with that." But he had something to prove. And with this mission, this was no time to change the formula or the equation that he had already perfected. It was no time to take on the king's armor and say, "Well, I'll go to war with this." No, I'm going to go to war with what I know. That's why it's important when you're going through stuff. And guess what? You will, because it's called life. When you're going through stuff, you have in your back pocket the Word of God, the relationship with God, the communion with God, the communion with a church and with people. And there's people there to pray for you. That's why you have to prove them. That's why it's important that you show up and you're consistent and you're faithful and you're in the prayer room and you go around and you greet people. "Hey, how are you? I'm praying for you. Hope you're doing good." Why? Because you're building faith. You're picking somebody else up. You don't know what the person sitting next to you has gone through this last week. You have no idea. They could have had the best week of all. They could have made $1 million. They could have. Or they could be so broken and low and hurt from somebody's words or actions. And just that little touch, something that you have proved, kindness. Something you can prove, mercy. Something you can prove, love. Something you and I can prove, forgiveness. Something we can prove, relationship. Don't be found at Judgment Day standing before God and say, "God, I haven't proved Christian lifestyle. I can't live for you. I didn't live for you." We face a foe today in Satan. He attacks from every angle. He will robe himself in every disguise fathomable. He will distort himself. He will lie to you. He will cheat you. He will bring himself in a pretty package to you. He will allure you in your attention towards him. He will distract you. I know I speak a lot about homes and families, and it starts in the home, but the reason is this. You can defeat a whole nation if you start in one home, one at a time, and you get the home at odds against each other, and you get the daddy and the mama fighting with each other, or the mama and the children, or the daddy and the children, and everybody is taking sides, and everybody is frustrated, and no, you don't feel like going to church when you're in confusion. You don't feel like living for God when you're yelling and screaming and cussing and fighting and doing all these things. Why? You're distracted. The devil has your attention. I have not proved them. I have not proved them. Some of the victims that Satan, just look at his record for a little bit. Some of the victims that he has taken down, some of his victims are angels. Yeah, he took them down. Adam and Eve. He tripped David himself, Judas, Ananias, and Sapphira. He knows tactics unknown to you and I. He knows how to do things and create things. And he can get in that little thing that just gets your attention. Maybe that thing is not what I would deal with, but it's what you deal with. And he knows it. And he'll attack you in that way. And he'll distract you in that way. And keep you from the house and the things of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe." And is safe. There are weapons that are proven. There are weapons that are proven for you and I. And this scripture is at the head of it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I challenge you. Maybe you haven't been doing some things that you know you should and living for God, but I challenge you to start calling on the name of the Lord. Let the Lord become your shepherd and let Him reach you with His staff and let Him reach out and pull you in with open arms and be receptive when the power and the presence of God begins to work with you and touch you and bless you, even when it begins to deal with you about issues that you know maybe nobody else knows. Maybe pastor doesn't know. Maybe your Sunday school teacher doesn't know. Maybe your mom or your dad or your husband or your wife doesn't know, but God knows. And give them to Jesus and say, God, here it is. I'm frustrated. I'm broken. I'm tired of the confusion. I'm tired of the stress, but God, I know that your word is proven and I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your word. I'm not going back. I'm not sitting down. I'm not shutting up. I'm calling on the name of the Lord on my behalf, on my situation. What does that take? That takes a man or a woman that's hungry and willing to reach out towards God. The reason you see saints of God and men and women of God, like our pastor and his wife, like Elder Sister Baggett, like some of you that are here, and you see their relationship and you see the blessings that they have. And you say, oh, I want those types of blessings and I want to be successful like they are. Are you willing to prove yourself like they did? Think about it. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am good with a knife. I'm really good with a knife. I've filleted millions of fish, commercial fishing, most of my life. I am good with a fillet knife. But I promise you, you don't want me cutting on you because I'm not a surgeon. I'll try, but I'm not responsible for anything that might happen. You are going to be in trouble. Because I fillet fish. And I'm good at that. I have not proven myself with a medical knife to do surgery. It takes hours, years of diligent study. And Brother Ford can attest to this. You want to go see him. You don't want to see me. He'll fix you up. I'll mess you up with a knife. Because I haven't proven, I haven't put in the years that it's taken to be a doctor. I don't have those credentials on my wall or behind my name. But there are some things that you and I can prove in our relationship and our walk with God. But you got to do it for yourself. You got to do it for yourself. So David met Goliath in the name of the Lord. It wasn't that he was physically qualified, but it was that the Jehovah God was qualified. It was that he was able to step in. 1 Samuel 17 and 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." Do you know that this big man, Goliath, had a shield bearer? He had somebody that just carried around his shield. That's something. You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast